How to be preferred. We read there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. When I was a little boy, I liked to play baseball. And some of you ladies might not understand this, but when we played baseball, we would always take the bat before the game started, and we had two captains, and one captain would pitch the bat to the other, and he'd catch it somewhere along the barrel of the bat, and then the captains would put their hands one after the other, and the one whose hand ended up on the top of the bat got to pick first. I always wanted to be picked first, okay? Some of you, and I've played games with some people in the room, but I haven't played games with everybody in the room. If you ever play a game with me, you'll find out that I play to win. I don't play to be social. I try to be social, but if I'm going to play a game, I want to win. I wanted to be preferred. I wanted to be picked first by the captains. When I got a little bit older, my first job, I went to work for my dad. Me and my brother that's 2 years younger, and then my dad had a partner, and he had a son just a couple years older than me, and they reconditioned houses, and so my dad and Trav, that was his partner's name, was Travis, but we called him Trav, they were teaching their sons how to paint. And they would start us off in the closets, and once we got good in the closets, they moved us into the bathrooms. And when we got good enough in the bathrooms, we could paint a bedroom. We got good enough in the bedroom, we could paint the kitchen. And then if we got good enough in the kitchen, they'd let us paint the living room. When we got to the living room, we had arrived. Now, they would always judge us and make assignments. I always wanted to be the one that painted the most important room, whether it was the bathroom or the kitchen, the bedroom or the kitchen or the living room. I wanted to meet my brother. I wanted to meet David, who was, I have a younger brother named David, but he wasn't old enough to work yet. But David was Trav's son. I wanted to beat them. I wanted to be preferred by my dad and Trav. When I went to work, I had the same desire. I wanted to do a good job, but I wanted to give the person that I work for more than they expected. And I wanted to deliver the results quicker than they expected. I wanted to get to that point where if they really needed to do something that needed to be done, that they would come to me. I wanted to be preferred by the people that I worked for. Now, if we prefer something, we elevate it. We put it on the top shelf. We go to that thing first. And so tonight, I'm going to give you some tips on how to be preferred. How to be preferred. I'm not going to tell you how to be somebody. Okay? That's not the point. I'm going to give you four things that should mark our life as Christians so that others trust us, respect us, and prefer us. I'm going to use Daniel as an example. Again, we read in Daniel chapter 6 that he was preferred above all the presidents and the princes. And there in the last part of verse 3, the very last phrase, and the king, Darius, thought to set him over the whole realm. And as we read the story of Daniel, there's some common themes in his life. Now, again, you know his story. The Babylonians came. They defeated Israel. They defeated Israel because Israel had turned away from God. And God had sent prophets. I mean, he sent prophets a long time before Israel and Jerusalem fell to warn the people, say, look, you've turned away from me. I'm going to have to punish you. Turn back to me, and I won't have to punish you. But they didn't. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in, conquer Israel, destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and to carry away captive some of the Israelites. Daniel was one of those carried away captive. And just let me just mention some things in his life. When he came into Nebuchadnezzar's court, that was the king of Babylon that carried away Israel, there was a guy in charge of all the captives, the young men that King Nebuchadnezzar thought to make into Babylonians, thought to add to his cabinet of advisors. And this guy named Melzar was the guy in charge of those young people to be trained. And the Bible says that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were preferred above all the other ones. You remember, Daniel refused to eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine. And he went to this man and said, hey, we want you to test us. Just give us 10 days. Instead of giving us the king's meat and wine, give us a pulse or vegetables and water. And then look at us after those 10 days. And Daniel was preferred. This guy thought higher of him than all the other, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, than all the other captives, and allowed Daniel and his friends to go through that test. Then Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar preferred Daniel over all his other advisors. Now, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar some things, interpreted dreams and various things that other advisors could not. But Nebuchadnezzar got to the point where he quit calling everybody else and said, I'm just going to call Daniel. I prefer him above everybody else. Then it was Belshazzar who called Daniel to read the writing that the hand wrote on the wall. Hand attached to no arm, but the hand of God, meeny, meeny, tinkle. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And Daniel told Belshazzar, your life's going to be taken and the kingdom's going to be destroyed this very night. Then Darius preferred Daniel. Then Cyrus preferred Daniel. And it wasn't because Daniel was the top type of guy that went along to get along. That wasn't why he was preferred. I mean, he just didn't tell the king what they wanted, the kings what they wanted to hear. In fact, Daniel oftentimes told them things they did not want to hear. But it wasn't because he went along to get along. It wasn't because when in Rome, do as the Romans do. There was something different about Daniel. There was something about Daniel that made him stand out from the crowd, that, and he did things that led others to trust him, to respect him, and to prefer him. And tonight I want to mention four things, and this is my message tonight. Things that ought to be in our life. Things that ought to mark our life as a Christian. You say, Pastor, isn't it vain? Isn't it pride that would make me want to be preferred? No, it's not pride. It's want to be used by God. Look, all of us ought to have the desire to be used by God to the fullest extent. Not so that we can brag, not so that we can say, hey, look what God is doing with me, but so that we can present to God a vessel. I want to be that kind of vessel, and I hope you want to be that kind of vessel, that when God needs something to do, he'll prefer you and say, hey, I'm going to that person first. I've seen how they operate. I've seen their life. There's things in their life that I know. I trust them, I respect them, and I can depend on them to get this thing that I need done. So I'm going to prefer them above all the other governors and above all the other presidents, and I'm going to put them first place when I'm picking out somebody that I need to do something for me. That ought to be our desire. To be that vessel that God comes to first and says, hey, I'm going to use you because I prefer you over everybody else. Not from a sense of pride, not from a sense of boasting, but from a sense of being useful to God. Okay, so what are these four things? Number one, Daniel had an excellent spirit. In verse 3 of chapter 6, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Darius was a Persian king. Daniel was not Persian. He was from an enemy land. He didn't agree with the Persian lifestyle or philosophy. He didn't have the same religion as the king of Persia had. But Darius watched him. Again, he was one of his three presidents. I mean, he had 120 princes. The 120 princes reported to the three presidents. Daniel was the first. And again, he was preferred by Darius. Darius looked at Daniel. He watched him. He says, this guy has got a good attitude. This guy has got a good outlook on life. This guy has wisdom and insight. Of course, that wisdom and insight was given to him by God. But Darius looked at Daniel and said, this guy has got wisdom and insight. And he's proven that he can be trusted. And he's got an excellent, a good spirit. And above, he's above average. He's above the run of the mill. You know, there are some people that have a good IQ. Some people have a good IQ. They're smart. They can figure things out. Some people excel in academics. They can study things and grasp it and get good grades. Some people some people excel in athletics, in sports. Others don't excel in any of those things. But there's one thing that all of us can excel in, and that's to have an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. By the way, Christianity is a spiritual thing. There are other religions, and they talk about moral standards. There are other religions, and they all have a form of worship. There are other religions, and most of them have a book that they refer to as their authority. There are other religions, and they all have rituals that they use in their worship services. But Christianity is the only one that talks about the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. When I put my faith in God, my spirit is regenerated. You see, the spirit part of me, we were created in the image of God. And the spirit part of me is that part of me that communes with God. When I commit that first sin, when I know that the difference between right and wrong, and I decided to do wrong, my spirit was cut off from God. That part of me that was made to commune with God because of my sin was cut off from God. And you've heard me say before in different sermons, without Christ, there's something missing in our life. There's an empty spot in our life. And the world tries to fill it up with things of the world, but the world can't fill it up with anything that it has to offer. Part of you, your spirit, was made to commune with God, and in our sin, we cannot do that. But when I got saved, my spirit was regenerated. My spirit came alive again. That part of me that was made to commune with God got to do its thing, got to do what it was made for. It got to commune with God on my behalf. And then every area of my life was affected by my spirit. When you got saved, everything became new. And it started with that part of you that was made to commune with God. An excellent spirit is found in a Christian when your spirit, that part of you that communes with God, is yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's how we get an excellent spirit. That's how we can have a good attitude about things. That's how we can be on top, even in the midst of hard and sorrowful circumstances. To have a good spirit, to be respected by people, to be trusted by people, to be depended on by people, comes with a good spirit, and a good spirit comes by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. When I yield myself, and when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, there are some things that are produced in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 talk about them. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to judge somebody's spirit, I am going to look for those things in their life. I'm going to look for that love. I'm going to look for that joy. I'm going to look for that peace. I'm going to look for that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. Hey, if you were going to pick somebody to do something for you, to represent you, wouldn't you want somebody that had the fruits of the Spirit that was evident in their life? I would. God does. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was a slave. He was carried away from home. He lived a life, a captive life, all of his life, yet he had an excellent spirit. So let me ask you tonight, how's your spirit? Most of us, if not all of us here tonight, are saved. We know Jesus as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That part of God, part of the Trinity, part of the triune God, resides in our bodies. How's your spirit? Say, well, preacher, I have the Holy Spirit because I've been saved. Good. And when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. Amen. Question is, how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of us does the Holy Spirit have? How much of us? If we want to be preferred, we have to have an excellent spirit. And the way that we get that is by yielding to the Holy Spirit. So, number one, have an excellent spirit. Number two, Daniel had a clean, pure testimony. Look at verses 4 and 5 if you still have your Bibles open. Daniel chapter 6. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You see, the other presidents were jealous of Daniel. The king was thinking about promoting him to be over the whole kingdom, which would mean being over them. And so they got together and they said, hey, we got to find something against Daniel. We got to find something in his past. We got to find something in his present. There must be a skeleton in the closet somewhere. There must be something in his life that he did wrong, that he made a mistake, and we want to find that to use against him. We see this all the time in our world today. You can't watch the news without somebody digging up a skeleton on somebody, without going back, you know, sometimes 30 or 40 years and say, look at that. Look at what this guy did when he was a teenager. Look at what this guy did in his 20s and 30s. I mean, the world hasn't changed. I mean, they were doing it in Daniel's time. They're still doing it today. We want to get something against this person. So we're going to go back and we're going to look in every closet. We're going to look in every area of his life. There must be something that he's done wrong, something that we can dig up on him, that we can use against him with the king. And so they called their FBI. I don't know if they had one, what they called it. But they called those people that look for dirt on other people. And that's not what the FBI does. But they called for, you know, they called for people. Say, go find something on Daniel. Go find something wrong that he did. Go find a skeleton in his closet. Something that he's trying to hide. Every person has one. He must have one. Go find it. And they searched and they searched and they searched and they searched. And they came back to the men that sent them out. And they said, we can't find him. Anything. Cannot find it. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing in his life that we can point to where he made a mistake. Now again, I'm not preaching tonight that Daniel was perfect. He wasn't perfect. He was a human being like us. And I'm sure there were times he got discouraged. I'm sure there were times that he thought thoughts he might not have thought. But these men searched his life. Here's what they said. The only thing that we can find to use against Daniel is his religion. He is faithful and he is true to the law of his God. Amen. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if our life was searched from the top to the bottom? If somebody dug into our life and looked in every closet, looked at everything we ever did, everything that we ever said, everything that we ever wrote, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if they could come back and said, the only thing we can find against him is that he lives by this book. If you're going to find something against him, you got to find something in his religion, because there ain't nothing else that we can use against him. Now, most of us in our lives, as we look back, say, well, that's not true of me. I'm one of them. But let me challenge you tonight. From February the 17th, 2019, going forward, let's strive to make that our testimony. Amen. Let's strive to make that our life. If people look at my life from this day forward and they report on me to somebody, I want them to say, well, if you're going to find something against them, the only thing we can find is he's true to his God and he's true to the Word, his God's Word. He had a clean testimony. Number three, he was faithful. We read it in verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Daniel was faithful. He was consistent. He was not up today and down tomorrow. He was not sporadic. It means that he lived his life in a faithful way. And he lived, he didn't do things on impulse, he didn't miscalculate, he didn't make foolish decisions, he asked God for wisdom, and he did things by his convictions, and he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him that wisdom, and he was faithful. He didn't waver. He did not vary. There was no variableness in him. You know the story. When the other presidents couldn't find anything against him, and they said the only thing that we can find against him is his religion, they went to the king. And they said, Darius, we want you to pass a law. We want you to pass a law. We want you to pass a law that says in the next 30 days, if anybody asks anything of their gods besides you, that we throw him in the lion's den. Darius felt pretty good. Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me. He signed the law. He didn't think. He was sorry he did when he found out the repercussions of it. But he passed the law. It says, anybody that prays and asks anything of other gods, of their God, other than you, King Darius, we're going to throw him in the lion's den. They passed the law. You know what Daniel did? He did the same thing that he did the day before. He was faithful. He was faithful. Bible says three times a day he opened his window that pointed toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. He did that the day before they passed the law. He did that the day after they passed the law. He was faithful. He was faithful. And then number four, quickly, he lived by his convictions. He lived by his convictions. When he was first brought to Babylon, his conviction was that eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine was wrong. It violated the Hebrew diet. And so again, he went to the person in charge and said, would you test us? Give us 10 days. Let's eat vegetables, drink water, and then compare our countenance, compare how we look to everybody else. He would not violate his convictions about what to eat. When they passed a law that said you can't pray or you'll pay a price, Daniel said, it doesn't matter. My conviction is that I need to go to my God and I need to pray. And I'm going to pray. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter how society defines what's right and what's wrong. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. It doesn't matter what condition I live under. I am going to live by my convictions. Too many Christians today have situational ethics. They let their situations determine what's right and what's wrong. The situation that we're in has nothing to do with what's right or what's wrong. The crowd has, and what the crowd thinks has nothing to do with what's right and what's wrong. Where we are and the circumstances we're in has nothing to do with what's right and what's wrong. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Notice the last phrase, as he did aforetime. As he did the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. It didn't matter what the law said. It didn't matter what the king said. It didn't matter what the other president said. Daniel's conviction was that he needed to pray to his God, and he did. He had an excellent spirit. He had a clean testimony. He was faithful. He lived by conviction. And as a result, he was preferred. When the king wanted somebody to set over the whole kingdom, he said, "I want Daniel. I want Daniel." When God says, "I want somebody to do something, I have a task that needs to be done, I have a job that needs to be done," if we have an excellent spirit, if we have a clean testimony, if we're faithful, if we live by conviction and not by circumstances, God will say, "I think I can trust that person. I think I can trust that person to get done what I need to be done, so I'm going to prefer them, and I'm going to give them this task, and I'm going to use them in this way." Let's strive to be preferred by God. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the example that we have in Daniel. What a wonderful testimony he had. Carried away as a young man, living in a foreign land through various kingdoms that came into power, and yet you used him. You used him in every one of those kingdoms to work your work, to accomplish the tasks that you wanted him to accomplish. I pray that tonight we could learn from his example. I pray that we would strive to have in our lives the things that Daniel had in our lives, in his life. And I pray, Father, that again, when you look for a vessel that you could use, a vessel that you can trust, a vessel that you could depend on to get a job done, that you would prefer us. You would prefer us. I pray tonight, maybe one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Maybe one here tonight whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, if there is one, help them to see their sin. Help them to see that sin that separates them from you. Help them to see there's nothing that they can do to bridge the gap that sin creates between their Creator, their God, and themselves. But that, Father, you cross that gap with the cross. You cross that gap with your Son who died to pay for our sins. And again, Father, if there's just one here tonight that's never received Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that in the quietness of this moment, you would bring them to Jesus Christ. In a minute, help them to walk the aisle. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians tonight. There's things that we need to get into our life or out of our life. Help us to make some holy vows. Use this time of invitation to draw us closer to you, to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.